Good morning. This is Ben Rogers, and welcome to this week's episode of Trending. Today, I'm visiting with County Mayor a little further south from here. This will be the first time I've had Keith Cartwright, the Sequatchie County Mayor, on. We will hear from Keith, and he also brought in his wife, Nisha, so we'll get to talk to her a little bit. We'll hear from Keith on how the county has been affected by COVID-19 the last few weeks. We'll also discuss financial impact and what the fiscal year 2021 budget will look like for the county. But first, I want to get to know a little bit more about Keith, and see, this is the first time you've been here, so good morning, Keith.
Hello, Ben. Good to see you again.
I appreciate you being in studio, too, because the last 3 weeks I've recorded via phone, which has been fine, but it's been different for me. So, Nisha, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you're here. Let's just start, Keith, right quick, so people get to know you, because it is Sequatchie County, Dunlap's a little bit, you know, it's not too far from Cookeville, but it's a little bit further south. Beautiful county. I love it. I love going through. I love visiting. We're going to talk a little bit more about tourism later and what goes on in Sequatchie County, what brings people there. But beautiful county. How long have you been county mayor in Sequatchie County?
I was elected in 2012. It was a midterm, and the county executive at that time had gotten some issues with his health, and he had stepped down. A gentleman was appointed. So we had a midterm election, and I succeeded in that. So,
and actually, I do not. People that listen to my show regularly know about me serving counties through my job and career, and I do not serve Sequatchie County, even though you and I hang out some, and I've got to hang out with you at meetings and stuff like that in Chattanooga, and we know each other pretty well. But you actually have my counterpart, my supervisor, Gary Hayes, and he's been there with you. But so that, and that's unusual a little bit, and I'm glad you brought that up, for an official to call it quits or resign during the midterm. And I know he had health reasons. And I remember hearing that. And I remember Gary talking about you and you were up for election. Did the commission, who they appointed, did that person run as well?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
No, he didn't.
So did they appoint a county mayor to fill out that until the election?
They did. Okay. They appointed Claude Lewis.
That's right.
Picked that up. And Claude's a splendid gentleman from our county, and still volunteers a lot. And on occasion, I call him. So
sure. Well, before you decided to jump in 2012, did you have any prior experience in county government?
I did not. I'd lost a 12-year-old daughter in 2009 to the H1N1. That's coincidentally here. What we're going through now is not relevant, but it is giving me a little lead on things. And she had gone to Europe that August and had returned back to the Murfreesboro area. And, you know, certainly I would have liked to have had a heads up that something was going on then. We didn't get that, didn't find out till actually after her passing in October, didn't find out till the following January what had actually taken her life. So
yeah, and of course, you and I have discussed it briefly, And I hate that happened. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, well, if things good, I've got peace with all that, and I'm assured at where she's at. So
that's good. And you have another daughter?
I do. She's a lovely lady, 25, single gentleman. No, she's in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's got a steady at this point, and she's wonderful, and she's what I've got now.
Well, you got a big family. We'll talk a little bit more about your family too, but what made you decide, you know, like I said, that's an unusual circumstance, 2012. Did you have much warning that he might resign because of health, or did you just hear about it and think, you know what, it's something I want to pursue?
Actually, after my daughter's passing, I was struggling. I was doing some building and developing and things at that point. I was having trouble getting back into the groove, so to speak. My creativeness seemed to have left me, and the Dunlap City Mayor, Dwayne Land, approached me about running for the county executive position. And, of course, I was one of those guys that was more of a complainer, I guess, to politicians than anything, and have never been in politics or government or anything like that. But I have ran a business for the previous 25 years, and my brother and I partnered in most of those endeavors. But Dwayne had talked me into getting back in the saddle, so to speak, in 2010, and I ran against the incumbent guy and lost that election. So it was a close race, and it's, I guess, about 10 weeks after he won that election in 2010, he had developed some health issues and stepped down from the position, and I'd gotten back into what I was doing, and the commission appointed Claude Lewis to succeed him until the midterm.
So you're no stranger to running a campaign from right. 2012. Right. You knew how that worked and sure. probably gave you a little bit of experience on doing that and probably helped you actually win the election. But I'm, for one, glad you're still in the county executive in Sequatchie.
It is.
And that, a lot of mine are still county executive in the upper county, but I sometimes, and as I've said before, the title doesn't mean anything different from yeah. county mayor or county executives. You know, it's the same thing, but, county executive Sequatchie County. So you had a little passion there. You had a reason to run. You wanted to serve and that's a big part. Do you have a big family in Sequatchie County?
We do. We hail from that area. My mother came from a big, family and so did my father, both from that county. So we have extended family in the area. I have, three siblings, they all three have children. I've got a sister, Christy, with four boys, sister B with two boys and a daughter, and then my brother Jeff has two boys and two girls.
So your mom and dad had yeah. plenty of grandchildren around. Yeah, and yeah. your dad's still
oh,
living.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
He's Marine.
He's 80, yeah. He's ready to go. He's every morning.
I love the stories you tell about him. It cracks me up when we go down yeah. there to visit with you. You bring up your dad. It's fun. Cause I love talking about my dad. I'm yeah. very proud of my dad and my mom too. And, love them dearly. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. But big family. And you got a little bit of, you got somebody that might be a little bit famous in your family as well.
Do. I've got a nephew that, was drafted out of high school into the major leagues, and he played at Mississippi State, was All-American down there, and he's a pitcher, and he now is a starting pitcher on the St. Louis Cardinals staff. So,
and so now I find myself rooting for St. Louis in the National League, and I think I told you that. I'm an American League guy. I grew up a Yankees fan, and the reason I grew up a Yankees fan wasn't because they were winning when I was a kid. They were actually losing a lot when I was a kid. They didn't win again until 96, and I was 16. But my grandpa loved the New York Yankees on my dad's side. And sure. He loved Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle, and my brother's older than me, and he would watch the Yankees with him. And yeah. my grandpa died young, or when I was young. He was young, too. I was a year and a half years old, so I don't really have any memories there. But, you know, I follow my brother, and that's what kind of you do. You follow what your brother does. So we're Yankee fans, but I watch Dakota, and I love watching him pitch. He's got some nasty stuff. So, yeah, I know you're proud, and you ought to be. Let's talk about some good things. We're going to get into COVID-19. And that's not good. We know that. And of course, you've had experience with viruses before and it's not good, but I want to start with some good things going on in Sequatchie County right now. What are some good things going on? Cause it's like I said, beautiful county, so much to offer.
Yeah, it is. I come from a great community. I'd left for some 20 years or so to kind of go out and find my way and then made it back, in 2004 back to the county in 2005. So, I've been back for about 15 years now, but I will say that it's the best place I've ever lived, and I've lived around a little bit, but my mother was aging, and I wanted to my daughters to know her and some of their uncles and aunts, so that's brought me back. But anyway, life throws you a curve, brings mm-hmm. you a storm or two, and mm-hmm. we get through those and move forward, but yeah, Sequatchie County's lovely. If you've never been there, please come by and spend a little money. We keep some of that sales tax, but growth has been great for us. We're really been a bedroom community of Chattanooga. In 35 minutes, we can be in downtown, wouldn't you say, Nisha?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we visit Chattanooga quite a bit, a lovely scenic city right there on the river, we go there
tell them about Huebner and things that we have going on.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a couple of German companies that have moved in, and we're able to be selective, Ben, on who comes in.
That's good.
We don't just give everybody a pilot or right. things like that, but we've got a couple of Mannheimel and also Huebner. They're both from Germany. Mannheimel's about 350 employees. Huebner's currently they've just moved in, but and then the virus came on. They're at about 25 right now, but they will be at about 150. And these guys have worked seamlessly with local government and doing what they can. They're big supporters of any events, community events that we have. They step up. And we've got some old industry there, too, Dunlap Industry and, you know, some of those guys that are still there. But the growth has been great there just because a lot of folks like to work and go kill it and drag it home, but they drag it home back to Sequatchie County.
Sure.
What a lovely place to got an excellent school system. They want to raise their kids there. Low crime, low taxes, and 30 minutes can be in the mid-sized city of Chattanooga. So,
and that's a good situation.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
we come back in the next segment, I'll talk about actually a little bit of your location at Chattanooga and Volkswagen and the opportunities that brings. You're listening to Trending. This is Ben Rogers. My guests are county executive, Sequatchie County. His wife, Nisha, is with us too. We're going to hear a little bit from her. She told me she didn't want to talk a whole lot, but I'm going to ask her a couple of questions. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Trending. This is Ben Rogers. My guest today, or Keith Cartwright, the Sequatchie County Executive. His wife, Nisha, is with us as well. We've been talking about Sequatchie County, what a wonderful county it is. And you, Nisha had actually mentioned a new industry coming in, Hubner. You're in a good location. You said you're 35 minutes from downtown Chattanooga. Chattanooga's just been great. They've done a lot, so much with Chattanooga the last few years. It's a good tourist site. People want to go visit, spend a weekend. You're right there. You had said last segment that you kind of can, the county and city can kind of pick and choose who you let come and locate there. And a lot of counties don't have that problem. A lot of counties are begging for people to come.
Yeah.
Well, you have that problem, but location. It's beautiful there. Again, Chattanooga's got all kinds of industry with Volkswagen. But what else makes it work so well with getting industry in Sequatchie County?
Well, I think when a company comes into our town, they work, as in most counties, with the county mayor and the city mayor, you know, and if they see controversy up front, they're probably going to go somewhere else, Ben. We know this. Dwayne Land is the city mayor of Dunlap, and he and I grew up together. He tells folks that we were baptized on the same day, and we were, but I'm telling you, I don't think they held Dwayne under the water enough, maybe sometimes.
But, pretty
you know,
good.
Dwayne is, he's quite the entertainer, and I typically step back and take second seat when we are recruiting. You know, obviously TVA is huge on companies coming to Tennessee and in our area and the Southeast in general. And then the state of Tennessee does a splendid job on, you know, their fast track monies and offerings that they offer up to help you and work with you, and you know, they've been great. The development district helps us. We're in the Southeast. I know this is up a Cumberland, mm-hmm. but the Southeast Development District is where we lie. And Dwayne and I both sit on the board, and Beth Jones is our executive director. And again, she's top shelf when it comes to knowing her business and her craft, you know. So we all work together. But going back to Dwayne and myself, I recognize his ability to speak and entertain, so to speak. And then we feel like once we get those guys over to our county, that they are just taken by the sheer beauty and the workability between county and city and how we work in sync. You know, we'll have some disagreements, but we typically do that after they leave or behind the closed doors. Nothing we can't get over.
Right.
And we've really never had a problem. We've had some issues, but we've gotten rid of those.
That's so great. And this is one of the reasons we love having this show, is to learn the insides and outs of getting industry into the county and how that works, and the mayor's working together. And that's, I mean, great information, Keith. I appreciate it. And part of getting industry into the county, is partnerships, not only between the two mayors or the executive mayor, but the two councils or the commission and council. How many commissioners are in Sequatchie County?
Now, county commissioners, we have 18 commissioners. We have 9 districts,
okay.
two in each district. So we've got an armful of guys. Now, our terrain, as in most, we're only 265 square miles, but our terrain, we've got hill country.
Sure.
And each community has a community center and their own volunteer fire department. And each community, each of the nine districts that we have, there's fire in those districts. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, you've got people that want to get involved. And you, during campaign season, you hear it the most. You know, they want to know, we've been after this, and they keep up. You know, I know, you know, we've big on fire departments and, you know, trying to get those ratings down. And, you know, it's tough. And infrastructure is expensive. And we're not a lot of money to go around, but and we get a lot of folks moving in, you know, and they're from Florida, or they're from up in Michigan, and you have the same issues here, but they want to know, well, you know, why can't we do this and we do this? Look, your tax rate's $244
right.
per hundred,
right.
you know, guys. We, you know, you don't got
it's pretty low.
Ad valorem. You don't have the, you know, the wheel tax. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, so we run a tight ship and try to keep government intrusion away and taxes low, and that seems to have been working for us. You know, we do not want to be even a Cookeville. Cookeville is a lovely town.
Sure.
And a lot of our kids come to school over here, and they will their kids will come.
Right.
And the university here is top-notch, and you get a great education at a good cost, too. We know what that is.
Right.
So – but to get folks into Sequatchie County and keep them, and sometimes you don't want to keep those folks. You want them to come by and visit, spend
right.
their time. But hey,
right.
You know, if you start trying to build and do infrastructure to support that type, you know, you're going to raise taxes.
Right.
Growth has been good, but there's a balance certainly on where growth ends and where it. New growth begins.
That's so, right.
You know, and our commissioners do a good job getting back to them. And I've got an attorney that was going to come with me today. He's our chairman pro tem, Tom Venero. He's from Chicago. He's in the investment end now. He doesn't practice law, but it's great having him right there at my side.
Because, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And Jennifer Mitchell is our county attorney. And Jennifer, all these attorneys, I tell you what, I've told my kids, don't ever be an attorney. Every attorney I see, they're carrying a satchel and pulling two satchels and got
yep.
two assistants behind them. You know, be a dentist.
Yep.
You know, those guys, you can't get an appointment on Thursday or Friday with them.
That's right. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned ratings, too, because that's something I don't know if we've talked a lot about on this show with ISO ratings and having volunteer yeah. fire departments. Because you basically, your county fire department is volunteer.
Yeah.
Some counties, there's a few counties up and coming that have a full-time, Putnam is one. But those ISO ratings, there's so many factors. And everybody wants their ISO ratings as low as possible because that helps their home insurance premiums, the cost of that. But in a rural county, it's so hard to get your ISO ratings down because you got to have a fire station within 5 miles usually of your house.
Right.
And you got to have a fire hydrant close by. And you just don't see random fire hydrants out in the county. So that I'm glad you mentioned that. ISO ratings are tough to get down.
They are, and we're working on it. We've our infrastructure with the city, and we partner, and we get a grant or two that helps the city out in you know extending services, and we've got a developer too over the past that have invested private capital to help that situation out. They are responsible for a year according to the city, and then after that year, they pick up the maintenance there out. But it'll be inspected and, you know, by the city and the state, obviously, to make sure those things are leak-free and all that type of thing. So.
You mentioned county attorney, and in most counties, I think all counties have a designated county attorney, and the structures are different of how the county attorney works. Some county attorneys are just on retainer through a contract, or some may just bill you or the county through per call or per case or whatever. Some are full-time county attorneys in bigger counties. But they're so important because, you know, me as a consultant, I help counties, but I'm not statutory. I can give you advice all day long on what you should do, and you don't have to listen to me. Your county attorney, you should probably listen to the county attorney. They're going to know, and we actually work really well with county attorneys. We have a great one here in Putnam County. They're so important to what you do every day.
Vital.
Yeah, vital. And I think they go unrecognized sometimes, so.
Well, they do, and that may be purposeful. You know, they,
that's true.
Jennifer does a wonderful job for us, and, she's hard to get a hold of sometimes, but we run a smooth ship over there. And, you know, if you don't have a lot of, if your attorney, you're not calling her or him, you're probably doing some things right.
Yeah.
Now, what I will say about that, and you're here and I'm not buttering you up. I don't have to. I've known you long enough, but we depend heavily on CTASC. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we would do or what I would do anyway. And a lot of our elected officials that have been there much longer than I will tell you the same thing. The training that's offered, the availability, the flexibility, that's, you know, without CTAS help in doing those things and helping us navigate through uncharted waters sometimes is invaluable. I mean, we depend on you guys, and I will say thank you publicly to Robin and his whole staff and, you know, Gary Hayes, I know, has been there a year or two. Mm-hmm. I think he's about sophomore year, I think.
Yeah. I think 40 years strong for Gary.
Yeah, yeah,
and I've told Gary, actually, he's retiring in a few months. You know that. I've actually asked our boss, our new interim director, I said, let me have Sequatchie County. You know, let me, I don't know who you're going to replace Gary with. But I want them because I know those people and I love them. I mean, you're not the only one I know down there.
Yeah.
But I love the county. I love to go visit. We'll see what happens there. But, when we get back to the next segment, Keith, I want to talk a little bit more about the commission and have they been meeting the last couple months through the executive orders and everything that's come out with COVID-19. You're listening to Trending. I'm visiting with County Executive Keith Cartwright from Sequatchie County. His wife, Nisha's here. We are going to let her speak. She's quiet, but we're going to get her to talk here in a few minutes. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Trending. This is Ben Rogers. I continue to visit with Sequatchie County Executive Keith Cartwright. His wife, Nisha's here. She's going to talk just in a minute, but we're talking about the commission size. You have 18 commissioners. Do you serve as the chair of the commission, Keith?
I do, Ben. I do. That's not something I seek. As you know, you're chairman over in Putnam County of the commission. There's a lot of labor in that.
There is.
And the whole job in itself, when I ran, I underestimated the job itself. I mean, I was one of those guys that, you know, came from a small business and would point to those guys doing these jobs that I thought, well, you sit in there and not doing anything, watching television and doing Facebook and all that. Listen, I'm the first guy to say I was wrong.
Right.
You know, and I hope these guys that I don't even know who they are now that I was slurring, so to speak, forgive me, and ladies, listen, there's a lot to it. If you do the job correctly, you will put your time in.
So. Absolutely. And you being county executive and chair of the commission, you're busy because you're making decisions not only as a county executive, as CEO, CFO of the county, you're doing it as the leader of the commission. And you're deciding when to meet, especially in these kind of times, you know, with COVID-19 and the executive orders. I mean, has the county commission met since the executive order from the governor come out about not meeting in person? Have y'all met?
We have. We met. We had less than 10. We have 18 commissioners. We had 10 commissioners show up. We've got a big old courthouse room that we meet in. We can spread out, certainly. The other guys, had three guys down in my office that did a teleconference.
Okay.
And, did a live stream, so to speak, but,
so y'all kind of did a hybrid.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. Now we do a lot of Zoom meetings. I do, but
a
lot of our commissioners, I've got two guys that's been commissioners over 40 years. Now I will tell you, one of them may have a computer and the other one, I'm not sure. He's still got an old flip phone.
Now, I've met a couple of them. Yeah, one gentleman, I'm not sure if he has a computer or not, but he's a really good guy.
Yeah.
So y'all have kind of done a hybrid. A lot of counties, I mean, I've had a couple that have not met at all. They've just, we're not doing it. We're not meeting. We can wait. Our business can wait. We're just going to postpone. And a lot of counties like us, we're doing electronic meetings. We're actually doing, this month's meeting electronically and committee meetings electronically just through a conference call. And it's worked out pretty well. It's not been too big of an issue. And of course I go to the courthouse and and sit with the mayor and the county attorney and the county clerk, and we're all in the room together.
That's right.
And they keep me straight, make sure I'm doing my job as chairman. But so y'all have kind of had a hybrid meeting. Do y'all plan on meeting this month in May?
We probably will not. Now, we will have a budget meeting, and that'll be done where we come in. We have 9 members of that, and then I'll be there. And so that'll, you know, the 10 or under, we try to stick to that. But, sure. Again, we have plenty of space. And two, the budget's going to be a little complicated. Now, I know we'll get into that in a few minutes. Navigating through that, and we're depending on some help from CTAS to help us with our planning, so to speak,
right.
You know, what to do and what to cut and at what we think growth's going to be, what sales tax, you know, some of those revenue issues are going to be paramount this budget.
So. Well, and so I'm glad you brought that up, and I think I spoke a couple weeks ago about this. The comptroller's been trying to give y'all some literature about budget stuff, and
yes.
Then we've been trying to talk to counties, and I'm not sure we're on the same page with the comptroller's office, but we're trying to get there. My thing is they're saying, look, if you don't have the money or if you can't meet maintenance of effort for schools, because you know schools has got to have local taxes met for the budget.
And your jail.
Yeah. And yeah,
library.
All that good stuff. their option, the comptroller's office, was to raise taxes. And I'm like, right now is not probably what citizens want to hear is a new tax increase, especially here in Putnam since we did it last year. But – you know, the budget stuff is revenues. I don't know. I just can't predict a certain percentage of what's not going to come in through sales tax, through property tax delinquency next year. And people think I'm crazy. Like, oh, well, people will be paying their property taxes. I'm telling you right now, if you're unemployed and you're at home, you're spending money on food and water and things you got to live by, you're not necessarily worried about your property taxes.
That's right.
And so next year when it comes time to pay them, or when you start in October, you may not want to pay those because you've had to pay for something else. I just think there's going to be less people paying. That's my opinion. Sales tax, is that a big part of y'all's economy and the budget for Sequatchie County?
Sales tax is good. I mean, we've got a nice agreement with our city. So, our sales tax that we receive is about $600,000 a year. You know, that's not counting the school, but that's a nice piece. Our penny is about $34,000. So, you know, but, $500,000 helps out.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong, but our total school budget with everything's south of $40 million, so it's relatively small. But again, we don't think we waste a lot of money, and 27 of that is the school system.
Right.
Now, our school system is debt-free. They've fund balance about, you know, of course – you know, the school budgets sometimes are hard to figure out.
They are.
but I know what they got in the account, so
sure.
I'm going to be careful on what I say
sure.
in fund balance, because some of them's restricted, and they'll educate you on, hey, you know, this, and can't do this.
Oh, yeah.
And, hey, listen, I remember the day back when I was in school and started getting involved a little bit in knowing what was going on relative to the schools and the local government. Schools didn't have anything. If the schools wanted to get the commission's attention and needed more money, they'd just stop the buses from running when they were playing football.
Yeah,
you know, and then perk up and listen. But
that's
a shame. But I'm glad things have changed around, and we have a strong system. Pete Swofford, Mike Swofford, technically is our director of schools. Johnny Cordell was there 25 years prior to him, and they have done an excellent job navigating them through some turbulent waters over the past years.
Yeah, and what's part of the budget stuff and navigating through those waters, as you said, I mean, that's your desire to serve as a public servant. And I'm big on discussion of public service. I talk about it on the show a lot. To me, it's one of the best things you can do is be a public servant. You decide to do this. You know, Nisha, you work for the county.
Yes.
You're involved in this. You mentioned something earlier that he and I hadn't thought about. What made you decide to come work for Sequatchie County?
I actually did not seek this job out. They came for me.
They came for you.
I was waitressing at a restaurant that's no longer open. They quit shortly after I left. So
you left, they shut down.
Exactly.
That's what,
so,
okay.
You know.
So don't let her leave, Keith, because the county may shut down.
She can't leave anymore.
but they come to you?
They came to me. And I guess what drew me to them was I'm just a social person. I love serving.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did. I love greeting people.
Sure.
You know, how can I help you? What can I do for you? And that's basically what my role is.
Sure.
With the county.
Yep. So you come in your office. Is she the first person you see?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and that's not by accident, right, Keith?
That's right. It's strategic. Let me tell you how this thing went down. The chairman of the personnel committee, they do my hiring for my office.
Sure.
He's a past superintendent of school, Winston Pickett. He also ran the chamber for years and does a great job. But so I let them do all the hiring for my office specifically. So he comes to me and said, I've asked a young lady to come in. Oh, have you ever eaten down at the Mexican restaurant? You know, she's great down there. So they've asked her to come in. I'd actually seen her before down there at the restaurant. But so anyway, we hire a young a lady and she came in the first day, and it was not Nisha, and I spoke to her, and she said, Mr. Cartwright, I need to speak with you at the end of the day. So I said, yeah, and I said, what's going on? She said, well, I only want to work 12 hours a day. So I said, well, this is a 40-hour work week. So she said, well, my husband and I want to travel. This is not going to work out. So Winston Pickett, I called him, said, the lady that you – he said, well, we'll just – back up and call our number two. They interviewed over 40 folks for this job. It's kind of the face of the county. You know, when anybody comes in, they see the face at the courthouse that greets everybody and all that sort of thing. So Nisha's now I've got a face for radio. Now she's certainly got a nice face for television or whatever.
But. So in Sequatchie, and I'm glad you brought this up because I'm, like I said, I'm learning too. Sequatchie County, is it something in policy that the personnel committee does hiring, or is it something you just want them to do?
That was my choice.
That's
especially
interesting.
Especially in my office, because my mother was a barker in her family up
line.
He has barker.
A lot of relatives.
Yeah, so
yes.
It was just easier for me not to. And I know a lot of folks. So,
so to kind of keep you out of the nepotism part.
Absolutely.
That's really smart, actually. Yeah. Well, it worked out because I know what kind of work she does, and you do a great job, Nisha. I mean, and Gorse Gary talks about it too, and you're real important to that office and what the county does. But so let's navigate through. We got about a minute left in this segment. Actually, I'll probably just start next segment, but I want to, when we come back, I want to start talking about navigating through COVID-19 and
sure.
when it hit
sure.
and what the county and what you and the city mayor, cause I read y'all's letters that, you know, y'all had
right.
sent out and what y'all decided to do in that purpose. So we'll go ahead and discuss that when we come back, cause I want people to know you're listening to Trending. This is Ben Rogers, your host. I'm visiting with Sequatchie County Executive Keith Cartwright. His wife Nisha's here, and we'll return in just a moment. Welcome back to Trending. This is Ben Rogers. I continue to visit with Keith Cartwright, the Sequatchie County Executive. Nisha Cartwright's his wife, and she also works in the office and does a wonderful job. And we were talking to her about her desire to serve, and it is a public service thing. And of course, I appreciate both of you. I know y'all are doing good things for the county. COVID-19 hit us kind of. We knew it was out there when another, you know, in China. Didn't think a whole lot. It kind of hit us and gave us a nice left hook to the side of the head, and everybody started putting in protocols. When you realized, and the governor come out with executive orders, and you and the city mayor realized that this was a problem, what steps did y'all begin to take, Keith?
Well, first and foremost, after 9/11, back in 2003, the county came up with TEMA's help, a emergency management plan, and that gave us a cookie cutter, so to speak, in how to navigate through things like this.
Sure.
Didn't think we'd ever use it. I didn't know why. Maybe a storm, a flood, a tornado, something like that at some point. And we have used pieces of it before. But we immediately, after listening to the governor, and I guess, you know, in this political climate, Ben, we all tend to lace everything that underlying Democrat or Republican, you know, you just, you know, the media is just inundated with
right.
all that, you know, for, against, black
right.
and white. You know what I'm saying. So anyway, we wanted to get clarity. But what really got our attention is when they shut down sports.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking baseball,
mm-hmm.
foot, you know, every NBA,
right.
those folks. Now, something's up here,
sure.
you know, so then we look to the state and we look to the governor and what those our health departments, obviously, and those are some of our brightest folks that that work there. So the first thing we did on March the 23rd, and I did as the county mayor, is declared a state of an emergency. And I'd followed the lead of our president and also our governor of the state of Tennessee in doing so.
Right.
Now, again, these aren't mandates. It just gave us flexibility on meetings, open meeting notifications, things like that, availability and flexibility in funding if we deemed necessary to use those funds. We used very little of those funds at that time during that case. Now, every Monday, those state of emergencies for county are only good for 7 days. So each Monday, we are still renewing that.
Sure.
Because our numbers in Tennessee haven't flattened yet.
Right.
You know, yesterday we gained 240-something or right. whatever over the day before. So we're looking for that flattening, and we're being careful. We have got a recovery plan in place. 50% capacity. We're following CDC guidelines, and the governor that I brought along a copy just to reflect, to remind me of a few things, but on the Tennessee pledge, and we are encouraging following these guidelines. But the analogy I use is to our citizenry is, look, guys, it's America. The flag's still flying. The Constitution's still hanging on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's free will and free choice.
Sure.
We don't want to infringe on civil liberties. The Bill of Rights, they're still all in place. But I'm telling you, and like I would tell my children growing up, guys, there's a loaded gun over here that Dad keeps. We're telling the citizens, like, guys, we got a loaded gun over here. It's the virus. Now, we're recommending you stay away from the gun or you stay away from others during this virus. You know, we've had great leadership, in my view, throughout the state and our country that's going on. So if you can keep the politics out of this thing, we'll get through this. And our thing that we've adopted, we've got a task force that we've adopted in our county, the sheriff, the EMA director, the superintendent of schools, the road supervisor, the key people, the health department folks, our ambulance service people. You know, those type folks are in place, our county attorney and different folks. There's about 15 of those people that are key food bank folks and whatever chamber. But anyway, they're in place to help. It's a team concerted effort. Dwayne and I, Mayor Land and I, sit at the front with our EMA director. But listen, we're listening to each and every one of those folks. We meet twice a week. We've established an EOC, and we're following our plan.
Right.
What the state of emergency was, it enabled us to invoke our emergency management plan, and we're following that to the key. We're trying to get into the recovery stage. We begin the first step. It's a four-stage process. So we're there and, we're getting there into the recovery, but I still believe we've got a long way to go. Now, the thing we say before we end any meeting is we're going to beat this thing together.
Right.
Apart.
Right.
You know, because that seems to be key for us is separating and
yeah.
Those things. So,
how many cases have Sequatchie County had?
This morning we've got five, but let me tell you, I'm sorry, we've got seven, but we know that two to three of those actually live in a different county, but they've got a Dunlap address.
Okay.
Our county's so small that a lot of times these mailing routes, you could live in Bledsoe County and have a Dunlap address.
Sure.
But they can't figure all that out. So whatever your address is, you get that. But I'm pleased to say that all five of our cases, the two new ones are new. We did a mega testing site this past Sunday and picked those up from that. But those five have recovered, and I've got to tell you, our community have stepped up and really following those guidelines. I mean, it's getting prettier weather.
Right.
Warmer.
Right.
You know, people are getting used to, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's going to, we're going to have a flare up or two in my view, but, look, we've got to get back to work. An economic death we don't need.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Are the county offices were open?
Well, we are open. We've got drop boxes. We're doing an open window. We've got our window at our county exec's office open. It's a walk up. Of course, the U.S. mail still running, things like that. Now, we plan to open May 18th to the public. We've put up some plexiglass, and we're in process of doing some of those things. Our clerk's office, like many small-town courthouses, our clerk office, where you get your tags, titles, marriage license, all that, it's our busiest office. So we're working on plexiglass and some spacing procedures for that. And I left you a copy of some of the things that we're doing in our little county and following some of those guidelines. And let me say, Gary Hayes helped me with some of this, too. So
already carefully then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make sure you take out anything that shouldn't be in there.
Right.
And it's good to hear all that, because it's not like y'all hadn't thought about this. You've put a plan together. You said you had an EMA plan before, after 9/11 in 2001 and 2003. The county was proactive and got something going. So that's good to have something to go by. So Sequatchie County has had something in place, and that starts – the leadership of that starts with you and the city mayor. If you two don't decide to take steps towards that, then maybe no one else will either. So I think that's good. You've put everything out there. You're very transparent on what's going on. The only thing is that you can't predict and tell anybody what it's going to do economically. We can't, we can't do that. Experts can't do that. We talked to an expert at UT a couple weeks ago. He was very general on his predictions, didn't really have anything concrete. So we're approaching budgets, probably the same as you are. We're waiting to see. We haven't, Putnam County is very proactive on budget committees, and we have not met yet. You know, we have our committee. We have not met one time because we're afraid we're going to meet and just not really know what to talk about because of revenue. The officials are turning in pretty much status quo budgets as far as what I've been told. Have y'all sent a budget letter out to your officials saying what you recommend them turn in?
Well, we've got those letters out and their wish list, so to speak. But and I've hand-delivered those. Nisha typically does, but I've gone right behind those and said, look, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't look to get our budget in as early as we did last year. I'm going to tell you why. Because we're waiting on some numbers from the state and some trickle-down information.
Sure.
Relative to sales tax, relative to what they see. And we've not gotten that. There's a lot that goes into preparation on the budget, as you know. So the more information you have, all the growth numbers, we need to take a second and third look at those numbers, our projections. Right now in our county, we're less than 20,000 in population in Sequatchie County, but our growth was 5% last year. Now, it was on pace to be more than that this year until this thing hit.
Right.
Now, we're still – growth is growth that is growth. We understand that. But a lot of those side revenues, we get business tax, sales tax, obviously, things like that that we count on, we're unsure of, and we all are in the state. We're in the same boat. We're just – our commas are in a different place than Putnam.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've got a good program. Tennessee does a good job fiscally, and we're going to continue doing what we can to help support that. So.
Does Sequatchie County have anything? I mean, you have a lot of festivals that they have. Are they canceled? Or are they
well,
still want to try to have them?
I tell a lot of folks, I was a Boy Scout growing up, and my mother raised we kids, and she got us in everything that had a meeting to it. So scouting, be prepared, that's their motto. And I've told our fair and our hee-haw event and our 4th of July celebration, be prepared to go.
Right.
Prepare like we're going to be there.
Right.
Don't sign any long-term contracts on entertainment. We've got enough entertainment in our local community. I know you introduced me to Billy Mack, this morning, and I'm going to try to recruit him and
you won't regret
what he's got.
Yeah, so. You won't regret it, I promise. Well, I hope for the county's sake and for your sake that maybe these things can happen. It's so important for that tourism, that sales tax money, the gas tax money coming in to help the highway department. I mean, it's so important for that thing. But, Keith, I appreciate you and Nisha being here. Nisha, you got anything?
I think you've covered it all.
Well, you do a great job. Appreciate you both. Thank you all again for being here.
Thank you, Ben Rogers.
We'll see you next time. We'll have a new show next week on Trending. This has been Ben Rogers. This is Ben Rogers. And my guest has been Keith Cartwright, Sequatchie County Executive, and his wife, Nisha. We'll see you next week.